He is cherished and enjoyed by many, and we're just delighted to have him here today. And it's fitting because Atlanta Falcons, where he's from, is playing the Seattle Seahawks today. So there we go. So we're getting ready. Go Seahawks. Ah, there you go. You got a tough crowd here, Sandy. So we're excited to have you, brother. Thank you for being here with us. So let's welcome Pastor Sandy Adams.
Great. Yeah. You don't think I'm the only Falcons fan in the crowd today, do you? You think maybe so? Well, it's great. It's great to be with you. It's always great for me to come to Canada for a number of reasons. I love it up here. It's a little chillier than what I'm used to, which is really refreshing and nice. People up here take their hockey seriously. That's a good, really good thing. And of course, the hospitality's over the top. It's always great to be up here and be with you guys. And I'm so glad you're hospitable because when the Falcons do beat the Seahawks today, nobody will harbor a grudge or axe to grind. Let's get our Bibles out this morning and let's turn to the Psalms, the Hebrew hymnal. Let's turn to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. So great to see the place packed out. You guys need to bust out a wall or something. Yeah, it's a good problem to have. Hey, before we read our text, would you join me in prayer? Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your great, great love for us. And the more we know how much you love us, the more we love you in return. Father, I pray that you'll bless this morning, that you'll speak to our hearts, that you'll stir us up, get us out of any complacency or apathy we may have fallen into. Lord, help us to leave today more in love with you, more zealous for serving you and declaring our thanksgiving to the world around us. We love you, Lord, and ask for your blessing now as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Psalm 116, beginning in verse 12, the psalmist asks a question. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And then he answers his question. I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Famous pastor and Bible teacher Matthew Henry was once robbed on his way to a meeting. Well, the next day he wrote about his experience in his diary. He wrote these words, "Let me be thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they didn't take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And then fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." Now how's that for looking on the bright side? No matter how grim and gloomy your circumstances are today, if you look hard enough, we will all have something for which we can be thankful. It's been said, if we pause to think, we'll have cause to thank. In fact, if you're having trouble this morning finding something for which you can be grateful, here are a few suggestions for you. If you can't pay your bills, just be glad you're not one of your creditors. You can be thankful only you and God have all the facts about yourself. Yeah. Even though you haven't gotten all you want, be thankful you haven't gotten what you deserve. If you can't be thankful for what you've received, at least be thankful for what you've escaped. And lastly, we can all be thankful for many blinds. Because if it wasn't for them, it'd be curtains for all of us. Once there was a teacher, she asked her fourth grade students to name one thing for which they were thankful. Most of the kids listed their pets or their parents or some possession. But one little boy responded, he says, "I'm thankful for my glasses because they keep me out of a lot of trouble." Well, the teacher was perplexed. She asked the little guy, she said, "How do your glasses keep you out of a lot of trouble?" The little boy answered, "They keep the boys from beating me up and the girls from kissing me." Well, we all should have an attitude of gratitude. And this is especially so for those of us who live here in North America. If you've traveled abroad very much, you realize what most of us scrape off our plate after a meal and send down the garbage disposal would be considered by three-fifths of the world as a feast fit for a king. Of course, this past Monday, here in Canada, it was Thanksgiving Day. And I hear you celebrate Thanksgiving much the way we do in the States. Turkey and pumpkin pie and maybe throwing a little football. When the United States President Calvin Coolidge issued his Thanksgiving Day proclamation, he said these words, "We have been a most favored people. We ought to be a most thankful people." Canadians and Americans live in countries that have been abundantly blessed by God. We both have much for which we should be thankful. And if that's true of Canadians and of Americans, it is especially true for Christians. For of all people, none should be more thankful than those of us who follow Jesus, who have tasted God's amazing grace. In fact, did you know the term gratitude is from the root word grace? Gratitude is our response to God's wonderful grace. As God has been gracious to us, we should be grateful to Him. As a matter of fact, think of all that God has done for you. He spared not His only Son. He's given you life new and never ending, full and free, holy and happy. Add to that a complete pardon, a new birth, abounding love, a steadying peace, the presence of His Spirit, a supernatural strength, special gifts and callings, brothers and sisters in Christ, even a home in heaven. With all that God has done for us, the least we can do is be thankful. Bible commentator William Hislop once wrote, "To save such a sinner as I, God shall never hear the end of it." That should be our sentiment as well. You know, my mom, she believed in writing thank you notes. Whenever we got a gift, my brother and I, we were expected to sit down and to write a thank you. I hated it. I'd rather be outside playing football or ride my bike or something. Most of the time, I'd already said thanks. I figured that was enough, but not for Mom. She believed that you weren't really thankful until you took the time and made the effort to express your gratitude to that person in a tangible way. Now, if I ask you this morning, are you thankful for all that God has done for you? I'm sure that 99% of you would reply, "Of course I'm thankful. Who isn't thankful? God is good." But are we thankful enough to express our thanks? I heard the courageous yet tragic story of Edward Spencer. Ned was a Bible college student strolling along the shores of Lake Michigan one day when he saw a boat full of passengers sinking in the cold, choppy waters. With no consideration of his own safety, Ned bravely dove into the icy waters. He swam out into the lake and back a total of 16 times, rescuing 17 people. After everyone was safe, Ned collapsed from exhaustion on the bank. He never fully recovered from his heroic ordeal. Complications set in that stunted his health and kept Ned from pursuing full-time Christian ministry. But to make matters worse, not one of the 17 people Ned Spencer plucked from Lake Michigan that day ever returned and found him to say thanks. Not one. Now, I'm sure if we had tracked down those 17 people, I'm sure they all would say that they were grateful. But no one bothered to express their gratitude to Ned. Hey, Jesus has made a far greater sacrifice for us. Far greater than Ned Spencer did in rescuing those people from the lake. Jesus has rescued us from eternal damnation. But have you taken the time? Have you made the effort to say thanks? In Luke chapter 17, Jesus entered a certain village, and he was met by 10 lepers who were crying out for mercy. He healed all 10 lepers. And as soon as he did, boy, they were quick to race off to the priest to be pronounced clean and to begin a new life. Only one of the former lepers returned and thanked Jesus for the miracle. And that's when Jesus asked, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Today, millions the world over have been recipients of the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus. But we can still hear him ask, didn't I heal John and Jim? Didn't I heal Beverly and Becky? Didn't I heal Ashley and Andy? But where are they? And here's my question to us. Are we among the 9 nowhere to be found? Or are you and I among the few who've taken the time to say thanks? On the bus one day, a man gave up his seat to a woman. His act of courtesy so shocked the lady, she fainted. She wasn't used to such a gracious man. Well, when the lady revived, she thanked the man for his kindness. Her gratitude so shocked him, he fainted. Neither the man nor the woman was used to gracious and grateful people. I wonder if God would be shocked if today we stopped complaining about our spouse and our job and our kids and our neighbors and our bank account and simply took the time and made the effort to say thanks to God for all the blessings that he has lavished upon us. In Psalm 116, the psalmist tells us how to say thanks to God. In verse 12, he asks, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? In other words, what does God prefer in the way of a thank you? Does God want a thank you note from you? Does he want a card? Does he want some flowers? I mean, how do you show the Almighty God that you're thankful for all his benefits? If I'm going to put some time into it, if I'm going to make the effort to express my thanks, then surely I want to express my gratitude in a way that will please the Lord. Well, this morning's text supplies us with 3 ways to say thanks to God. Notice carefully, he says first, take up the cup of salvation. Second, call upon the name of the Lord. And then third, pay your vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Let's take a closer look this morning at Psalm 116 and let's learn how to say thanks to God. To me, verse 13 offers a truly strange means of expressing thanks. The psalmist answers, I will take up the cup of salvation. But recall the question, what shall I render or give to God for all his benefits? Here he tells us, to give by instructing us to take. Again, this is strange. You mean I give to God by taking from him? It really does sound strange until I think it through. For what can I really give to God that he doesn't already possess? You see, God is the one person on the earth who really does need nothing. There are folks on my Christmas list every year who are difficult to buy for, because they already have everything I can afford to give them. And this is true with God. In Acts 17, Paul said to the Athenians, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. The one true God is in need of nada. He possesses all things. Psalm 50 says that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That means that our scrawny sacrifices don't impress him much. I was at a Christmas party once when we decided to go around the room and share what we were going to give to Jesus that year for Christmas. Well, most of us talked about giving him more of our time or our money or our energy or our service. Then it came my friend's turn. He shocked the group by announcing that he had nothing to give to God. When someone asked him why, he said, "Because God already owns everything I've got." Realize true gratitude begins with a frustration. God has given us so much, and yet there's nothing that we can really give back to Him. All we can do is take what He has given and allow it to accomplish its intended purpose in our lives. We thank God for His blessings when we enjoy them to the fullest. If you want to say thanks to God, take up the goblet of grace. Take up that mug of mercy. Put it to your parched lips and take a deep, long drink. The cup of salvation, it brims with blessing. It's heavy with heaven. It was David who spoke of the cup in the Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 23. "My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He's telling us to savor every single drop of God's blessing. Hey, if you want to say thanks to God, you do so by taking advantage of His many and marvelous gifts. Think of it. God journeyed from the heights of heaven to the depths of earth, from the crib to the cross, from a cold, dark tomb back to His throne in heaven, just to bring us blessings untold. The least we can do is open up our hearts and receive His goodness toward us. Hey, you try to compensate God for His gifts, and you only devalue them. If we could earn God's blessings, it would cheapen the price God paid to acquire them. As the poet put it, "The best return for one like me, so wretched to the core, is from God's gifts to draw a plea and ask Him still for more." If you want to say thanks to God for His grace, then ask Him for more. Turn up the cup of salvation and keep drinking. My grandma was a Southern gourmet. Grandma Adams, she could whip up a scrumptious meal in the blink of an eye. Black-eyed peas, hot cornbread, buttered grits, collard greens, fried okra, biscuits and gravy, fried chicken, all the extras. If you're not a native Southerner that is impressed with Southern cuisine, you might not like my list. But trust me, if you could have ever sampled my grandma's cooking, you'd be an admirer. She was amazing. Whenever a visitor walked into the house, no matter the time of day, she would start dinner and she'd invite you to the table. Before you knew it, she had served you a banquet fit for a king. And she would take nothing for it. If you tried to pay her, she'd be insulted. The only way you could thank my grandma was to clean your plate. My grandma's reward for cooking was the joy of seeing somebody scarf up her victuals and come roaring back for more. The greatest insult would be for you just to nibble a bit, then push your plate aside as if you didn't like it. And that's the way it is with God's blessing. When we clean our plate and ask for more, we're saying thanks to God. But when we don't have time to eat, oh, we're too busy with other things. When we fill up on other stuff, that's when we break God's heart. We insult God when we consume junk food, when we feed on the garbage that this world offers, but we don't bring our appetites to His table. Here's a quote. "This is the height of all madness. This is the lowest depth of all sin. God spares not His own Son, and we stand with our hands folded on our chest." Hey, you say thanks to God by reaching out and grabbing every single blessing that He bestows on you. Don't waste God's grace. Turn up the cup of salvation and savor every drop. Well, here's a second way to say thanks to God. Notice again verse 13. We're told to call upon the name of the Lord. When trouble strikes, when the need arises, we say thanks to God by calling on Him for help. And again, this sounds like a selfish way to express our thanks. You'd think that we would do for God rather than ask God to do for us. But again, what can you really do for God that He can't do a better job of Himself? You know, whenever a father involves his toddler in a project, he's not doing it because he needs a kid's help. If anything, the little child is only going to slow him down and get in his way. Dad gets the toddler to help him because he enjoys the child's company. And he wants to use the opportunity to teach him some lessons and some skills. And this is why God involves us in His work. God doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. When we serve God, we're not doing God a favor. He's doing us a favor. We say thanks, not by helping Him, but by asking for His help. You know, when my kids were younger, when they got into trouble, they didn't search the Yellow Pages for the nearest PhD. They didn't canvass the university for an expert in the field. They didn't even call 911. When my kids got into trouble, they dialed D-A-D. They ran to Dad. They expected me to take over the situation and salvage a solution. And I wouldn't have had it any other way. Nothing flatters a father more than when a child turns instinctively to him for help. And the same is true with God. If you really want to say thanks to God, make Him your first retreat in times of trouble, not your last resort. Here's another illustration. What if you found an automobile mechanic who did good work? He was fair, he was honest, he was efficient. What do you say? How do you say thanks to an automobile mechanic? Do you send him a thank you note? A pick-me-up bouquet? Hey, try that on a macho mechanic. He might just punch you in the nose. No, what that mechanic wants most is your return business. The next time your car breaks down, if you look up another mechanic, he'll assume you weren't satisfied with his service. But if he's the first person you call with your car, that mechanic knows you appreciated his work. Let me ask you, when you're sick, what's your first reaction? Do you take an aspirin? Do you call a doctor? Or do you pray? Do you run to God for His intervention and His healing power? When you're lonely, what's your first response? Call a friend? Take in a movie? Visit a bar? Or do you open your Bible and renew your friendship with God? When business dips, what's your first remedy? We need to increase marketing here. We'll downsize. We need to bring in a consultant. Or do you get on your knees and trust God for His blessing? When you're tired and weary, what do you do to seek rest? Turn on the TV and veg out? Plan a vacation? Or do you trust God for His peace and His rest? You see, the psalmist tells us that we say thanks to God by calling on the name of the Lord. For many years, while my kids worked their way through school, I would always proofread their English composition papers. First it was Natalie, then Nick, then Mac. Well, the kids figured out that it was nice to have an author in the family who could review their papers before they turned them in. And so they would always email me their papers at 10 o'clock the night before the assignment was due the next day. And I would usually mumble something like, "What do these kids expect me to do? Drop everything I'm doing at a moment's notice?" Oh, but that's not how I really felt. I was glad when they wanted my help. In fact, I would have been insulted if they'd ever stopped. The only time reviewing their composition papers bothered me was when we got back a grade of C. I'd get angry at the teacher. How did I get a C? But when my kids ran to me for help, I felt loved and trusted and appreciated. I'm glad when they wanted my input. And this is how God feels when we call on Him. Did you hear about the couple who got married at a travel agency? As it turns out, she was looking for a getaway and he was her last resort. Is the Lord your last resort or is he your first retreat? Hey, you say thanks to God by calling on the name of the Lord. And then the third way the psalmist tells us that you and I can say thanks to God is to pay your vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. The writer of Psalm 116 was so thankful to God that he would take his lamb, the pick of his litter, and he would parade his sacrifice through the streets of Jerusalem with no regard for the opinions of other people, simply overwhelmed with his love and enthusiasm for God. The psalmist would go up to the temple and he would offer his sacrifice openly and publicly before the community. And if we're truly thankful to God, we too will go public with our praise. We'll praise him in the presence of all the people. You know, Jesus told us that when we pray, we should go into our closet and close the door. Prayer is a private act. But when it comes to praise, you need to open the windows, man. You need to let the neighbors hear. Whisper your prayers, but shout your praise so all can hear. Psalm 107 verse 2 says it clearly, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." We live in a day when every blasphemous, godless, evil imaginable gets drug out into the light of day, gets paraded around in public, splattered all over our TV screens. Folks flaunt their sacrilege. They spew their irreverence. There's no shame today. Well, it's about time we who are grateful to God grew just as bold and just as vocal. Let's stop acting as if we're ashamed of God. Let's go into the marketplace and let the world know our success is due to God's blessing. Praise and thanksgiving needs to go public. I've never known much about cars. While other boys had their heads under the hood, tinkering on the engine, I was off somewhere dribbling a basketball. I know where to put the key. I know about that gas pedal, what that does. But that's about the extent of my mechanical prowess. When it comes to automobiles, I'm pretty ignorant. But understand a vital point. Even though I might be ignorant, that doesn't mean that I want to admit it. Engines and grease and stuff like that's macho stuff. A man should know his way around an engine block. No self-respected man wants to be known as mechanically illiterate. I'll never forget the day I was exposed. Completely humiliated. Right after Kathy and I got married, we'd made a trip to North Lake Mall. We were about to leave and the car wouldn't start. And so I popped the hood. Not that I was really going to do anything under the hood, you know, but I just always heard that when you have a car problem, that's what you do. You pop the hood. But then a truly horrible thing happened. Two guys, grown men, walked over to help me. I couldn't let them know how inept I was, so I grabbed a screwdriver and I started fiddling around, you know, underneath the hood, banging on stuff, just hitting on stuff. Pretending I knew what I was doing. I didn't think it could get any worse. Oh, but it did. My newlywed wife, she gets out of the car, and right in front of these two grown men, she takes the screwdriver from me, and she plays Mrs. Goodwrench. Right there in broad daylight, she proceeds to fix the car. I was humiliated. My wife knew more about cars than I did. And these two men now had evidence. I should have been thankful. In fact, later that night, I thanked Kathy privately. But publicly, at that moment, I was so embarrassed. And I think this is the problem that some people have in their relationship with God. Oh, privately, they'll thank God. But publicly, they would rather everyone thought they did it themselves. Humans don't like broadcasting our ineptitude and our dependence. Why is that? Why is it so hard for us to admit our weaknesses? None of us are truly independent and self-sufficient people. There's no such thing as a self-made man or a self-made woman. Hey, you were in debt the moment you came into this world. Did you know that on the day you were born, you already owed another person 9 months room and board? Psalm 100 verse 3 tells us that we all owe God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We depend on God for the air we breathe and for our next breath. Why is it so hard for us to be honest about our dependence on God? Why is it so hard for us to go public with our praise? I'll tell you the problem. It's pride. Pride slays thanksgiving. A proud person hates to say thanks. If he or she does, it shatters the illusion that they're in control. Gratitude is the admission that I have a need that I can't meet. And we've all got those needs, don't we? Who's fooling who? It's so freeing to drop the facade and just be grateful. There are tribes in East Africa who have unusual ways to say thank you. The Maasai tribe of Kenya, they will bow their heads to the ground, actually into the dirt, and they'll say, "My head is in the dirt." Members from another tribe, they sit on the ground for a long time in front of the hut of the person to whom they're thankful. They say, "I sit on the ground before you." These Africans understand a truth that makes gratitude so difficult for us. They realize that true thanksgiving is first and foremost an act of humility. You see, the psalmist contends that we're not really grateful to God unless we're willing to lay aside our pride and go public with our praise. True thanksgiving won't be intimidated by the sneers or slights or scowls of other people. It will still rise up even when looked down on. Robert Walpole was Britain's first prime minister. But his administration failed because he was betrayed by former friends who voted him out of office. Walpole said in the House of Commons, the day that its members cast the vote to bring down his government, one by one, his political foes, they stepped up to cast their votes. And as each man passed, Walpole made comments to the reporters around him. He said, "That fellow I saved from the gallows. That one from starvation. That man there, I promoted his son to an office in my government." And on he went with similar stories. Each parliament member who voted against Walpole that day had reason to be thankful for him and to him. But instead of expressing their gratitude, they buckled under to the political pressures, the peer pressures that were being applied at the time. In other words, they lacked the courage to say thanks. And when it comes to our relationship with God, I hope it's never said of you that you buckled under to the political pressures, the peer pressures, that you cowered away from giving our great God the credit He deserves. This is why it takes courage. Sometimes it takes guts to show gratitude. Don't just praise God in the safety of your church or in the quiet of your home. Be courageous, my friend. Go public with your thanksgiving and praise. Well, let me close with the story of a man who found the barn where Satan kept his seeds. These were the seeds of discouragement and doubt and fear and lust and greed and guilt. It frightened him to hear Satan boasting of how his seeds would take root and grow and almost any type of soil. The man pushed back. He said, "Are you sure they'll grow in any soil?" And that's when Satan had to backtrack. He reluctantly admitted. He said, "Well, there's one place where I can never seem to get these seeds to grow. And that's in the heart of a grateful person." Oh, how we need to be thankful people. And how do we say thanks to God for all His benefits toward us? Well, the psalmist speaks of three ways. Take up the cup of salvation. Enjoy every single blessing that the blood of Jesus has purchased for you. call upon the name of the Lord in times of trouble. Run to your heavenly Father for help. And pay your vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Go public with your praise. And do it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, thank You for Your word to us this morning. We thank You, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. Lord, we are thankful. We are thankful, Lord, for all that You've done for us. We're grateful, Lord. And when we stop and really count it up, we are staggered, Lord, by Your grace and mercies toward us. But Lord, maybe we just haven't thought about it. Maybe we haven't put two and two together. Lord, we need to express our thankfulness. We need to show, put some legs to our gratitude and show You how thankful we are. May we do so, Lord, by receiving Your blessings, by running to You for help, and by telling the world of how great You are and how thankful we are for You. I pray, Lord, that'll be our desire this coming week. We love You, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for having me. God bless you guys.
Good day.